Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said an alarm clock is a device that makes men rise and whine. We're happy to have this privilege of Bible study today. We're glad you're listening to our Bible Meditations program. Let's get back now to our study, and what we're doing is trying to point out some of the things that are believed by those who are members of the Church of Christ. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, Luke begins by telling Theophilus that he was writing the things that were most surely believed among them, things that they had a surety of. And so this is the statement or a recording of the things that are believed. Well, I believe that members of the Church of Christ owe it to the world about them to let people know what they believe. Some will agree, some will disagree, but to say that we believe a certain thing is to know that this is indeed where a person stands. A lot of times people represent the Church of Christ as people who are narrow-minded, who think they're right and everybody else is wrong, who don't believe in music as far as worship is concerned. You could just go on with other things that have been misrepresented that I believe we need to talk about and hold forth to those who are listening. So we began on Monday telling you about our belief in the inspiration of the Bible. The Bible is inspired of God. It is a book that was written by men, about 40 men, wrote down the things God told them to write. They certainly were not expressing their own opinions, their own ideas. They were expressing what God told them to write. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 22, Peter said, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." When you look at the passage, it simply says to us that the men did not write their own think-sos, but rather they wrote what God told them to write. That would mean that you trust your Bible. What your Bible says is true. Certainly it has to be divided, rightly divided, and the divisions that are very clearly obvious there, we need to follow the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's a division clearly outlined in the Hebrew letter, when he talks about the first covenant and also makes known a second covenant. So there's a division there. Very clearly we can see that. We're not going to come up with some fanciful division of the Bible that says Peter preached one gospel and Paul preached another, because Paul said, "If any man teaches another gospel than that you've heard, then let him be accursed." Certainly there's one gospel, and it's for Jew and Gentile alike. And it involves the idea of both Jew and Gentile obeying the same scheme of redemption that God gave in the beginning on the day of Pentecost. When the church was established, people were told, "Repent and be baptized." When you come later to the household of Cornelius, a Gentile, you find the instruction that he commanded them to be baptized, Acts 10 and verse 48. And throughout the Bible, Paul continued to baptize people according to the word of God for the remission of past sins. It's not a system which eliminates baptism. Paul would have been violating his own teaching had he taught that you don't need to be baptized. He taught, rather, that baptism is essential to salvation, and he himself was baptized and instructed others to be baptized for the remission of sins. We also want to affirm that we believe in the completeness of the Bible. The Bible's not a book that has just a part of the information that we need, but rather it has all of the information we need in regard to life and godliness. Do you remember the Apostle Peter saying, when he wrote to the brethren and explained to them the gospel of Christ, he said, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Now, was he telling the truth or was he stretching it? Did he have just a part of the truth and only reveal part of it to us? And then there had to be another revelation that is placed in addition to the Bible? Frequently I hear people saying, "Well, we have a second revelation. We have another book that was discovered sometime later, and so it's a companion volume to the Bible." But friends, if the Bible claims completeness, that doesn't leave room for another book. When someone comes along with another book claiming that it also is inspired of God, look at the problems we get into. We get into somebody claiming a book to be inspired, which obviously, if it's a human written book, it doesn't bear the key and the semblance of an inspired book. One of the books that people say, "Well, it's inspired of God," makes contradictions of what the Bible says. The Bible talks about things, well, for instance, the birth of Jesus. His birth was in Bethlehem, and the book that is complained, or people say is a companion volume to the Bible, says Jesus was born in Jerusalem. Is that a contradiction? Indeed it is. Does the Bible need this additional book? No, the Bible claims completeness. In looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, Paul says, "The Scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now let me ask you a question. What do we need in addition to that? I've heard people go to a statement in the book of John, chapter 20, and read the statement, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." They would argue then, "Well, the Scriptures don't contain everything Jesus did." Well, they look at a statement that is made like that, but overlook the emphasis of that very statement. The statement says there are things Jesus did that are not written down, but everything Jesus did that needed to be revealed to man was written down. So you don't need to worry about your Bible being incomplete. God didn't feel that you needed. And incidentally, God is his own best, editor. He doesn't need somebody else coming along and saying, "Well, we'll eliminate this or we'll add something." He just simply wants people to listen to and be obedient to the things that are taught in the Word of God. So when somebody asks the question, "What does the Church of Christ believe?" I'd like to affirm to you, we believe in the inspiration of the Bible. We believe the Bible must be properly handled. And we believe it contains everything we need to know about life and about godliness. Be with us tomorrow and we'll talk some more along this particular line. We appreciate your listening and remind you, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.